Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we've got another bonus episode for you right now with a great guest, one of our favorite guys, a huge, a constant supporter of the podcast as well, but also a talented comic book creator in his own right. Ladies and gentlemen, merch. Matthew Schofield. Matthew.
Hey, hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Very excited to see you. But we are welcoming you for a very specific time because we had you on, I believe before, maybe it was during, I don't know. You have a book called Steamroller Man, which is a great satirical comedy superhero comic book. You put it up on Kickstarter. It did great with the first issue. And now it is coming back for the second issue.
Depending on
people are listening to it. Kickstarter is launching May 5th. You can go to the pre-launch page and sign up. Or if it's already launched, you can pledge it right now. Either way, kickstarter.steamrollerman.com. Love this book. We got a chance to read the second issue. I won't spoil too much, but it is as packed with jokes and heart and humor as the first issue. The art is great. The story is great. It's great. And we could probably wrap up there. We're good.
Yeah, thanks.
You covered it.
See you guys.
Journalism accomplished.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, to take it back to like the first one, like I said, the first one was very successful. I don't remember the exact number, but I think you made 11 times the amount you wanted to get.
Yeah.
Solid.
But I set the amount like low to, you know, almost guarantee that it was going to fund successfully.
Yes. Yeah, that is the trick everybody, I think, has learned with Kickstarter. But at the same time, obviously, it paid off very nicely for you. That was 2 years ago, if I remember correctly. So, like...
Almost 2 years to the day of the launch of the second one. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What was the experience like launching that first Kickstarter? And what do you feel like you learned from that first one that you're taking to the second one?
Oh, wow. So, yeah, the experience of doing the first Kickstarter was, like, it really... took me outside my comfort zone because I just started the comic as a web comic, just doing it for fun in my spare time. And then learning how to run and launch and prepare a Kickstarter campaign was like nothing I'd ever done before. You know, I always had that thing in the back of my mind, like I'm an artist, I'm a creator. I don't want to be a businessman. I don't want to, you know, do all that extra peripheral stuff. But I sort of realized that if I wanted anyone else to read my comic and sell my comic as a physical copy, then by default, I was getting into the business side of things. And so, yeah the Kickstarter preparation for the first issue campaign was definitely a journey of real learning and discovery of like, well, how do I do this? How do I work out like what the reward tier pricing levels should be? What should I offer as rewards? You know, like one thing in particular that really changed for me was like, I've never been a variant cover kind of guy as a collector. You know, I've collected comics since I was a kid, but I've never really gone in for like multiple copies of the same issue, but doing the Kickstarter, I learned that there's a definite segment of the comic reading market that does go in for that and wants like exclusive collectible versions of comics. And so I decided, well, let me try out the variant cover thing. And those actually did really well. So I'm doing that again for the second campaign with a bunch of new different variant cover artists. And hopefully it'll do as well this time. So
not to take too much of a swerve, but I know you're a very frequent contributor on our Comic Book Club Discord as well. And
yes,
in a very positive way, it's been really eye-opening for me to see how many supporters of the podcast and people chatting in the Discord are very focused on variant covers, because it's also something that passes me by, but obviously it's important and like it's showing off the art in a different way. What are we going to say?
And even beyond that, blind bags have become the sort of the second tier of variant covers, adding an element of surprise and everything to that, that I think is is driving so much now, I feel
like. Well, that's a grift. I'm not ready to like
I'm
not ready to accept the blind bags yet. But
that's
Matt,
a grift, sir?
I don't know about a grift. It's definitely it's a gambling aspect.
Yes, it's a gambling aspect. Yeah. It's the same as like the little blind bag keychains for Stranger Things and One Piece and whatever they sell in the comic book store.
Anyway, we got Alex going here. Alex is
while we're derailed, I would like to talk about your nerd wall. Very impressive stuff that you got behind you. Plus, there's a your steamroller man right there. So yeah, point out any stuff you want.
All right, so this is Daniel Warren Johnson little MODOK commission that I got. Like, I was lucky enough to get on his like commission list for the day at WonderCon a couple of years back.
That's awesome.
And it was one of these things where it's like, oh, you have to line up to get a ticket for the chance to get on the commission list. And then when you get on the commission list, come back and line up again. You know, it's there's levels of lines.
Yeah. Now that's a grift, right, Alex? So.
No, that's legit. He's got the thing right there. Man. Yeah.
Okay, it's hard to tell with that.
That's that.
You can check out whatisagrift.com. It's a website that I run. It's very unpopular.
Very unpopular.
This is like I framed the first issue of Steamroller Man.
As you should.
Just because it was like a big moment for me to actually finally have my own comic in print. And this is an old college buddy of mine from art college, now does like custom action figures just as a hobby. And so he surprised me by making a Steamroller Man customized action figure.
So cool.
Wow. It's your old college buddy, Todd McFarlane? Because the work on that looks amazing.
Could have called him up about the old Kickstarter.
I think he got like a one of the DC Direct Martian Manhunter figures because it's got those buccaneer boots that Steamroller Man has. I really like that 1970s kind of costume design style.
Yeah.
And then he got a Thomas the Tank Engine character's face to put on. I don't know what he made the roller out of. But he somehow like took the face off a Thomas the Tank Engine character and stuck it on. But it worked out really great. This page over here is the first ever piece of original art that I ever bought at a convention. It's a Steve Dillon Preacher page, and Steve Dillon and Garth Ennis happened to be at that convention.
Awesome.
And so I got them both to sign it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. That's
and I think cool. I bought it for like, I think it was like $75 back in the day, which is crazy to think about now because original art prices have just gone through the roof. So, and then I've got two, can't really see it on the camera, but there's two Chris Samnee commissions up there.
Oh,
like
awesome.
One's a Black Widow, one's Captain America with MODOK. I really like MODOK. He's my favorite. Supervillain.
Getting a sense of that. Yeah.
Well, he's got the big head.
Like a lot of big heads going on.
Exactly. I have this affinity for these grotesque characters with huge heads. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I have a big Irish head myself. I just like the look of these the more grotesque comic characters. And then I have a little Daniel Clowes sketch that I think it was at the same convention that I got the Steve Dillon page.
You really hit the jackpot on that convention.
I look forward to when Big Irish Head becomes the MODOK of the Steamroller Man universe. It's a potential great villain.
I'll have to put that down in my ideas file for future reference.
Just to stay with conventions for a second, I do want to actually talk about the content of the book because it's great as well. And for anybody wondering, as we mentioned, it's a satirical book. It's about this hero. He has a steamroller head, if you couldn't have figured that out already. It's, I think, like on par. It's in line with The Tick is probably a good way to put it in terms of satirical, funny superheroes. But I wanted to ask you about the convention thing because this is another thing that you were talking about, not to keep referencing the Discord, but I thought this might be interesting for folks who aren't regularly in there. You also are a longtime director on The Simpsons. You've been going to conventions, and I think you told this story about like people coming up and having you sign Simpsons stuff or want to sign Simpsons stuff, and you're like, also, I have this comic Steamroller Man. what has that been like over the past 2 years or so?
Since I printed the first issue, that was always kind of my dream, was as someone who's been going to San Diego Comic-Con for 30 years now. So I arrived in this country in 1996, and I've been going every year as a professional. So I always wanted to be the person behind the table and, you know, exhibiting with my own comic. And so I've been doing a lot of conventions in the last year with the first issue. And it was interesting because I kind of started with the approach of my professional, you know, day job is going to be very separate from my comic, and I want that to be its own thing. But then I had a couple of friends who have also done their own comics say like, no, you got to like lean in to the Simpsons thing. Like that's something that makes you unique. Yeah. And that can be actually a selling point that's going to bring more people to your table because they're just fans of the Simpsons and maybe they want you to sign stuff or whatever. And so I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I guess that does have a logic to it. And so, sometimes depending on the convention, if it's like kind of slow and not a lot of people are going past, like I put up a little, I have a little whiteboard so that I can write whatever kind of sign I want on the whiteboard. And so I did a thing where I wrote, free Simpson head sketch with any purchase just to see like, is that going to bring more people to the table? And it actually worked really well.
Yes, I was going to say, I bet you drew a lot of Simpson heads that day.
Yeah, no, not only from just bringing people to the table, but while they were waiting, you know, like I remember one instance where like a group of four like college kids came to the table and they all wanted a sketch. So while I'm drawing one, there's three other people waiting for a sketch. So it looks like, oh, that guy's got a little crowd around his table. What's that all about? And that would be like a cascade effect, which attracted more people who were just coming over to see like, oh, what's the big deal with this guy?
Yeah.
And then that kind of like just rolled on.
It literally steamrolled. Very funny. It's amazing that you're talking about like, oh, I wanted to be, I want to make comic books, but I had to like become a businessman. And now it's like, well, I have to understand social dynamics and sort of circus barking here to actually move forward in this way. So the skill set must be grown aggressively, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always not necessarily thought of myself as a particular extrovert. Like I do not like crowds. I don't like going places with tons of crowds, except comic conventions. Like that's the weird thing is like, I am not fazed by the crowds at Comic-Con at all. Cause when I go to Comic-Con, it's like, oh, this is my happy place. I love this.
Yeah.
And I really have enjoyed meeting people, you know, doing the tabling experience at conventions. Yeah. I've really enjoyed like meeting people, and like the best part of the experience is when like kids come up, and like I had one kid who at my first convention tabling came up with his dad, and his dad said this is his first comic convention. And so it was like, oh, this is my first tabling experience at a convention. That's awesome. And Steamroller Man was the first comic because I was right by the door at that convention. And so I was one of the first tables that they stopped at. And so his first comic at his first comic convention was the first comic I sold at the first convention I tabled at. So it was just this sort of kismet kind of like experience. And then I had, like, I did a little indie comic show in LA. And a kid came up and he already had a copy, and I don't know where he got it from, probably from, I don't know. But he came up with a copy of issue one already and said, "Oh, could you sign this? Man. I really loved this and I just loved it so much. I just wanted you to sign it if you would." And I was like, "Oh my God, this is, this is amazing." So
crying, tears running down your face.
The comic really seems to The comic really seems to vibe with like my age group and my demographic, which is, you know, 40 something comic collecting people who have been reading comics for a long time, because I put little in jokes into the comic for, you know, about comic lore and comic cliches and that sort of thing. And then the other sort of demographic group is kids. And I think they just like the absurdity of the comic, and that there's not a lot of continuity or baggage that they have to know about, like, what's this character all about? He's kind of like a, what you see is what you get. Like, it's a guy with a giant steamroll head. That's all you need to know. It's not a high concept. It's just, it looks ridiculous. And it is ridiculous. It's supposed to be funny. So, yeah, it's great when at a convention, because I've got, like, I have a banner behind me with Steamroller Man on it. And people who get it, they really get it. Like, they'll see the picture and they'll be like, "Oh, my God, I love that."
Yeah.
And then everyone else walks past and they're like, "Steamroller Man, huh?" And then, and then you get... "Steamroller Man, huh?" And then, you know, it's just that.
Oh, so,
that's funny.
Well, we get it. We get the comic book.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Talk a little bit about the second issue. So we left out a cliffhanger at the end of the first issue and the second issue.
We did.
We're starting to, not to spoil too much, Steamroller Man survives the situation he's in, and we meet a couple of new characters that may be reminiscent of some famous comic book characters as well in the second issue. What do you want to tease? I know we're early days here, so I want to take your cue.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind too much about spoilers, because this has all been online as a webcomic for a few years now, and this is just getting the print version out into the public and sort of hopefully broadening its audience and broadening its reach. Yeah, so I have these two characters called Night Night and Sleep Tyke, and they're like a Batman and Robin analog. Their thing is it's all sleep themed. So Night Night wears basically a pillow on his head as a cowl, and he's wearing like a big adult onesie pajama sort of suit. And Sleep Tyke is his son, who also wears a kid onesie and has like one of those hooded kids bath towel type things where it's got the character on the hood as his cape. And Night Night's got a blanket with a safety pin as his cape. So they're kind of in the same sort of ridiculous vein as Steamroller Man. I just introduced them into the story too, because I have all these ideas for different characters and stuff that I eventually want to do. But comics is such a time-consuming way to tell a story, especially when you're writing and drawing and lettering. You know, like, I'm doing everything on the book, and so bringing Night Night and Sleep Tyke into the story was just a way to get more of my ideas out sooner. I was originally thinking like, "Oh, I could do a whole comic with these guys," but then I thought, "Oh, I could also just put them into Steamroller Man and get them into the public eye that way." So yeah, they're sort of allies, but also rivals, because they have very different ways of operating to Steamroller Man. So yeah.
They really work. I mean, we've seen a million Batman and Robin analogs in the course of reading comics, a lot of them in parody, the parody world. But to compliment you on this, I feel like you go deeper and have more sort of well thought out visions around these characters than so many others. What do you attribute that to? Are you just like, that's not far enough. I need a better pun. And then you land on Night Night, which works. Like, that's one of those, like, Sister Act 2 back in the habit level, just to say. And that's my gold standard. Thanks. That's my gold standard.
Thanks. I mean, Night Night was one that I came up with, and then I thought, like, has that been done before? And so yes. I did a Google search, and there is, like, a children's book called The Night Night. But that's more of a, like, knight in shining armor thing. And so I thought, well, you know, I used to say to my kids, night, night, sleep tight, to, you know, put them to bed when they were little. And so then I was like, what about night, night and sleep tyke as his sidekick? So then that makes it, there's a little bit of a different spin on it. It makes it its own unique thing. And then, yeah, usually it's just a matter of I just tried to come up with, like, all the sleep-related puns that I could. And it's not easy. Like, sometimes it's like, well, I got 7 puns. That's it. That's all I can get. That's all I can think of, you know. But, yeah, it's just a matter of I love puns and I like wordplay and stuff. And so that kind of thing comes sort of easy to me. It's just how my mind works. So I'll just hear something and then, you know, somebody says a turn of phrase and I'll think, oh, that sounds like that could actually be a character name or something like that. So, yeah.
I didn't realize that this was all online. How many issues worth do you have at this point?
I have 3 completed issues online at steamrollerman.com. So then 1 issue in print, 2nd issue about to go to print, hopefully after the Kickstarter. Then the plan is to do a 3rd Kickstarter for issue 3. Kickstarter campaigns are so much work that, like, I haven't really had a chance to start drawing issue 4 yet. But also, like, I'm coming to the end of this story arc with issue 4. And so I've always been, you know, the analogy of pantser versus plotter in terms of writing, like a plotter is someone who really plans everything out and plots everything out before they start writing. And a pantser is just flying by the seat of your pants and just being like, well, I'll just make it up as I go along. So issues 1 through 3 were kind of me doing the pants method. Like, just, I knew kind of where it had to get to. But I never wrote, like, a script of, like, here's what has to happen page by page. But with the 4th issue, because I want it all to sort of tie up nicely, I really want to plan that out. So I'm writing a script for the first time, and that's going slowly because it's really hard to sort of – writing's hard, guys. I don't know if you know.
There is.
Sure, I wake up screaming that every morning. well, and because the book is so, it's rooted in, like you said, like, so much of comics history and like Silver Age and stuff, are you feeding, what source material are you feeding your mind? When you're writing comedy, I feel like whatever genre it's in, I always find in stuff I'm making, like, I need to keep feeding the beast of the baseline dramatic side or genre side so that I could keep generating comedically.
Yeah, I mean, I find stuff that really inspires me is Silver Age DC comics. Definitely the sort of, like, Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen and Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane, because those were just, like, such wacky concept. Like, every story is, like, crazy. Like, oh, no, Jimmy Olsen's had to get married to a gorilla. What's he going to do now? You know, it's like crazy concept every single issue. And
to be clear, sorry to interrupt you, but to be clear, those are told straight face. Those aren't parody. Those are like, no, this is the dramatic arc of this issue. Jimmy Olsen has to marry this gorilla.
Yeah, exactly. It's life or death.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I like about those stories is that they're just told straight, but they have like a goofiness and a charm to them. And I try and get that sort of quality into Steamroller Man, where the concept is goofy, but the characters in the story play it completely straight.
Right.
It's not the kind of humor that is like self-aware, like winking. Not that much. Like, I'm definitely putting stuff in some panels where it's like you, the reader, and me, the creator, we both know that this is a comic, but the characters are sort of still playing it straight. And I think that makes it even more goofy and funny. So yeah, that's one of the sort of sources of inspiration. Definitely the 60s Batman TV show, which had a similar sort of tone where it was like Burt Ward and Adam West played it was comedic, but it was played straight, and that's what made it even funnier. So yeah, those kind of things. And definitely The Tick is an influence. Those things, when I need inspiration, I go like read some Jimmy Olsen comics or watch a couple of episodes of Batman 66 to get the tone.
Right.
Because I'm sort of going for a similar tone. So, yeah.
What's funny to me is after I, read one and then two, by the second one, Steamroller Man's voice was Conan O'Brien in my head for some reason. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
Do you have a voice in your head for the characters?
Is it you?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah. It's me. It's me. The secret's out. Steamroller Man is me. No, I mean, in the same way that like every character is me, you know, I'm sort of assuming the voice of the villain and the voice of Steamroller Man. But yeah, Steamroller Man, to me, he sounds, he sounds like this.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's just that sort of 60s Superman type. You know, there was a cartoon version of Superman in the 60s where Clark Kent, it was the same voice actor doing it, but Clark Kent would talk with this very soft voice, and then he would always say, "Looks like this is a job for Superman," you know. Yeah. His voice would change as he like opened his shirt to reveal the S. So yeah, it's Batman, that kind of like
you have to teach the audience that it's the same guy turning into Superman. It has to be very
exactly.
clear.
Exactly.
Well, looking forward to the audiobook for Steamroller Man.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
I think you got it. And Pete, very interesting that you chose a different person with a big Irish head as your Steamroller.
Well,
Man.
Like you said, that's a kind of very Conan bit, at least in my head, to be like, "What's going on here?" You know what I mean? It just for some reason just takes on this Conan thing for me.
People have told me I look like Conan a lot.
Yeah, I see.
Maybe without the glasses.
Oh yeah.
Oh Very much, yeah. If you had a tie on and did a little tie work, I would be.
Yeah, you're kind of doing the Clark Kent to Conan Superman.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's funny.
To get back to the Kickstarter, I know you mentioned that you're going to have some variant covers as it's coming up. I hope you're not going to have those god awful blind bags. But what can people expect?
Oh, come on, man. This poor guy's trying to start his dream here, and you're shooting him down.
You're swimming against the tide, Alex.
I know.
We're going to be doing blind bag podcasts in like.
Yeah.
How do we do that? I don't know. I'll think about it later.
Click on this.
So,
surprise.
So for this campaign, I've got a variant. I've got a main cover that I did, which kind of looks like this. This is the proof copy that I printed.
Oh, that's so cool! So shiny.
Just experimenting with like different paper stocks and stuff to see how it came out. That looked really nice. I've got variant covers from Mike Kunkel, who is the writer-artist behind Hero Bear and the Kid, and he did The Adventures of Shazam, and he's done a bunch of other stuff for DC. Also done some stuff for Marvel. and Edison Neo, who is a sort of young up-and-coming artist.
Cool.
Who I actually have the original art for that variant cover here. So that's his cover.
Oh, wow.
For anybody very listening, cool. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, nice job, sorry, podcast people.
Cool cover.
Sorry.
I would encourage anyone people. Listening to go watch this on YouTube. We've had a very visual episode of this podcast.
Yeah. Hit that like and subscribe button.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's something we never say.
Yes.
Stupidly.
Matthew, such a pleasure chatting with you. This book is great. I'm really looking forward to Kickstarter. Again, I'll mention for anybody, you can check out kickstarter.steamrollerman.com. The Kickstarter for issue 1 and 2 is starting off on May 5th. You can sign up on the pre-launch page so you know exactly when it's launched. Or if you're watching, listening to this afterwards, and it has already launched, just go pledge. Go do it. Let's Matthew. Go. So great seeing you. Congrats on everything.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So great to see you guys. And subscribe to Comic Book Club, everyone.
Oh, look at this. Thank you. This is great. Great book. Definitely get it, folks.